Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace, celebrating 20 years of discipling others through Charis Bible College worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing to teach on financial stewardship. I have a book on this, a study guide, CDs, and also a DVD that has the testimony of six couples on here who have seen financial breakthroughs. And I tell you, this is just powerful. I've already shared some really, really good things. If you've missed any of this, please get it because I'm setting up this teaching. This is different than a lot of teaching that you'll hear on prosperity in the fact that it is talking about financial stewardship. There's a reason I named it stewardship instead of financial prosperity, because you can prosper. You can take even some biblical principles and prosper. But as it says over in Proverbs, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. But if you are trying to get rich without the blessing of the Lord, if you're doing it through your own effort and your own wisdom and you're leveraging things and you're mortgaged up to your hilt, then you know what? You are going to have some sorrow that goes with it. There is a God way to prosper, and then there is an ungodly way to prosper. There's people that don't know the Lord that prosper, but it brings sorrow with it. And so one of the very first points that I've been trying to drill home is out of Luke chapter 16, verse 1, this parable of the unjust steward. And I've taken the first verse where it talks about that this man was a steward, and I'm just talking about that you need to have a stewardship mentality. You need to get this idea that God, I am yours. You have a purpose for me. You will prosper me. As it says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. Many people have tried to take that verse and to apply it to only emotional richness and spiritual things, and it includes that. But if you take 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, and put it in its context, every verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 is talking about money, not just spiritual things. This is talking about that Jesus became poor so that we might be made rich financially. Yes, emotionally. Yes, spiritually. Yes, in relationships. But it includes finances. The Lord died to produce prosperity in our life. He wants to take care of you financially as well as spiritually. But you have to follow His guidelines. There is a way to prosper God's way and a way not to prosper. And I believe the first step is seeing yourself as just a steward. You are managing His resources, your health, your talents, your abilities, where you're born. Everything that you've got is just you managing what God has given you. And if you would look at it that way, that puts all of the pressure on God. He's responsible. All you're doing is responding to Him. Sadly, even many Christians don't see it that way, but they see that they are working and they're trying to get God to bless their effort. They're begging God, "Oh God, I really want this. Would you please help me to get this?" There's a much better way, and that's just not to have your own agenda, but just to say, "God, I'm yours, whatever you want me to do." And if He doesn't want you to have it, it's no problem. You are just content with the Lord. Your relationship with God is what drives you, not all of the physical, natural things that it produces. I tell you, that's a mouthful right there. And I think that there's people watching this program right now that if you'd have to be honest, you'd say that's not the way it is with you. I used Abraham as an example in our program yesterday and how this man trusted in God. And because of his trust and reliance upon God, he prospered and became one of the wealthiest men in the world, because of his trust in God. And there was opportunities that he could have taken millions of dollars worth of spoil that were rightfully his, and yet he turned it back to the king of Sodom because he says no man is ever going to say that they made Abram rich. It's God's blessing that made him rich. See, he saw himself as a steward. He saw God as his source, and he was following God, and he had total confidence in God that God would bless him. I want to use another example and to show this through the life of David. And again, David, there's a lot of material written on David in the Bible. I hadn't got time to go through his whole life, but David started out as a little shepherd boy, and he finally became king. And then as king, he prospered like no other king in the history of Israel had ever done before. And this man became filthy, stinking, dirty, rich because of God's blessing upon his life. And I want to use his own words to reveal this to you. Now, the background of this, I'm going to be reading out of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. The background of this is that this is at the very end of David's life. And David was just shortly going to die after this. He was turning the kingdom over to his son Solomon. And David wanted to build a temple for the glory of God. But the Lord told him, nope, you've been a man of war. You've shed a lot of blood. And because of that, I don't want you to build the temple. I want your son, Solomon, to build it, and he'll be a man of peace. And so the Lord explained to him that Solomon would be the one to build the temple. So at the end of his life, he was transitioning the kingdom over to Solomon, and he brought all of the people together, and he made a huge offering towards the temple. Now, I haven't got time to turn to all of these scriptures. I'm just going to say this. You'll have to go research it on your own. But prior to this, David had given an offering of gold and silver and precious stones towards the building of the temple. And he gave that from his government treasury. In other words, his kingdom. He gave, I figured it up one time, it's around $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, that was out of the public money. But then in the 29th chapter of Chronicles is where David came and he made his own personal offering out of his personal finances. And this amounted to over $2 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious stones. So David had become a very, very prosperous man. And he made this offering of over $2 billion worth of materials towards the building of the temple. And he had assembled the entire nation together. And when they saw the king's generosity and his love and devotion towards this project of building the temple, they started to give. And so the people started bringing gold and silver. And altogether, they gave around $3 billion worth. So this was a spontaneous offering. David kind of greased the track or primed the pump by giving $2 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious stones. And then the people were so inspired, they started giving. Altogether, it amounted to like a $5 billion offering in one day. Man, this was something. Spontaneous. David didn't even ask for this offering. The people just started giving. And so anyway, let me read some of this. This is out of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And in verse 8 it says, "And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. And the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because that with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said..." Now, David is beginning to pray a prayer right here, and some of the things that he said right here go directly, they apply directly to this point that I'm trying to make, that you've got to see yourself as a steward, that this isn't just your money. This is what God has given you. He's entrusted this to you, and all you're doing is giving back unto Him that which was already His own in the first place. So here's what David said in the middle of verse 10. He said, "Blessed be Thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of Thee." Now notice what he's beginning to say right here. Both riches and honor come of Thee. Again, I've made this point, but a lot of people think, no, I made this money. I worked for this. This is the result of my sweat. But David is saying that riches and honor come from Him. Again, it's God that gives us our health, that gives us our strength, that gives us our talent, who puts us in a position where we live in a nation where we can prosper. Whether you recognize it or not, God is the source of every good thing that you have in your life. And that's what David is referring to. So in verse 12, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Again, David is proclaiming that God is the one who causes people to prosper. I tell you, I could stay on this for a week because people don't recognize this. Again, they think that all of these things that they have, this is theirs. They produced it. It's their ability. That is very, very short-sighted. God is the source. God is the one. If you have prospered, God is the one who has prospered you, whether you recognize it or not. If you don't recognize it, then that means that you're on an unstable ground because you're going to fall trusting in yourself. And it makes you susceptible to Satan and the things that he wants to do in your life. If you recognize God as your source and if you're standing on Him, then when problems come, you will have a peace that passes understanding because God is your source. He's going to supply your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's not going to be according to this economy. It's not going to be according to that corporation that you work for. God is your source and you will have a peace and a stability when other people don't. But see, it all goes back to this mindset of being a steward. God is your source. God is the one who's making things work. So this is what David is referring to. And in verse 13, he says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of Thee and of Thine own have we given Thee." Boy, that is a powerful statement right there. He says, all things come of Thee. And he's talking here about finances. All of this prosperity comes of Thee. Remember that they had given the equivalent of about a $5 billion offering. And he says, all that we've offered, it came from You. And look at this. And of Thine own have we given Thee. Now see, many people would disagree with this and say, no, You gave them Your money. No, God is the one who prospered them and enabled them to get this in the first place. And see, the next verse, David begins to start illustrating this or explaining that statement about of Thine own have we given Thee. In verse 15, it says, "For we were strangers before Thee and sojourners, as were all of our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build Thee an house for Thine holy name cometh of Thine hand and is all Thine own. I know also, my God, that Thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy Thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto Thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of Thy people and prepare their heart unto Thee." And then he begins to pray for Solomon. But you know what he was doing? He was basically just saying, he says, God, You're the one who prospered us. And then he goes back into Jewish history and remembers that at one time the entire Jewish nation were slaves in the land of Egypt. They were impoverished. They were oppressed by the Egyptians. And then God sent Moses, and as they came out of the land of Egypt, they went and they got all of the gold and silver from the Egyptians. I believe that what this was all about, you know, in the King James, it says that the Lord told them to borrow. But you know, really, it wasn't borrowing. The Lord told them to go and demand all of the gold and the silver from the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were so afraid of God, and they realized that they had oppressed the Jews for generations and had kept back from them, that they just began to lavish all of this money and all of these things upon them. And when the Israelites came out of the land of Egypt, they were rich to the max. And you know what? There wasn't anything in the desert to spend it on. There weren't any shopping centers. There weren't any malls. There weren't jewelry stores. There wasn't a 7-Eleven or convenience store on the corner. I mean, God sent them out into the desert with all of this money. And the purpose of it was to establish His covenant. The very first thing that they did was to start building the tabernacle and array it in all of this gold and in all of these fancy things. And then as the nation actually got planted in the land of Canaan, they began to prosper, and God had them go into giants' homes. And right before Moses died, He was rehearsing things to them, and He was making this exact same point that David was making right here. Moses was telling them, you're going to enter into this land that is flowing with milk and honey. It is prosperous. And it's not like the land of Egypt where they had to irrigate it and make things grow, but it receives the rain from heaven. And it's just a lush, lush land. I believe that originally the land of Israel was much more lush than it is today. Now, it's reviving today because the Jews have gone in and irrigated, but at one time, I believe before the destruction of the nation of Israel, the climate was totally different. And you can tell that because when the Jews went in, they got one cluster of grapes that was so big it had to be put on a pole and carried in between two people. You know, today we have a cluster of grapes like that. Do you think that they would have put a cluster of grapes that big on a pole and carry it between two people? No way. I mean, I don't know exactly how to visualize this, but it was gigantic. It was huge, and it was a representation of how blessed that land was. And they went into this land, and they experienced prosperity like no other people had ever experienced prosperity. They went in, they overcame the giants. And of course, the giants had giant houses. And so the Jews went in and they possessed all of this. They had fields that had already been cultivated. They didn't have to pull the stumps. They didn't have to pull the rocks out of the field. They'd already had all of that done. The crops were already planted. They had all of these things already provided. And Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, is rehearsing this. And he says, when you enter into all of this prosperity, don't forget that it's the Lord who made you prosperous. It's the Lord who gave you all of this money as you came out of Egypt. It's the Lord who brought you into this land and gave you these houses that you didn't build, these crops that you didn't plant, these fields that are cultivated that you didn't have to do all of the work. He says, don't forget the Lord. And he says, don't think that it is your own holiness or your own goodness. He says, it is not because you are holier than anybody else. It's not because you're the mightiest nation. He says, you are the least of all of the nations. It's just because of God's blessing and God's favor that caused you to prosper. And then it says in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you power to get wealth, that He might establish His covenant on the earth as He sware unto your fathers, as it is this day. God is the one who was their source. And he says, don't forget it's God who's caused this. This is exactly what David is praying right here. And both Moses, Abraham that I taught on yesterday, David right here, they're all saying the same thing, that God is their source. Even though they worked, you know, David had to go conquer other nations, but he did it under the influence of God. There was an instance one time where he went out and fought, and God told him to fight and conquer this nation, and he defeated them and they fled. Then they came back the next year and they were arrayed in the exact same place in the same situation. But this time the Lord says, don't go and fight them from a frontal attack. Come around behind, and when you hear the wind blowing in the mulberry trees, that's when you attack. And there's, I'm sure, more to it than, you know, just the wind blowing. But that was the opportune moment. God led him. God gave him a word, and he attacked. And because of it, he won again. He wasn't just out there fighting on his own. He was following the directions of the Lord. It's God who caused him to prosper. It's God who subdued all of these kingdoms under him. And therefore, all of the spoil that came from these kingdoms that he had conquered, it was really God that made it work. Again, we could make so many applications, but I've read stories, I've studied a lot about World War II. And did you know that it was dubious for a long period of time whether or not the Allies would be able to repulse Hitler and all of his troops and then Japan? And I mean, there was a time that it looked like that we were going to be conquered. And yet it's God that turned that situation around. And some people say, oh no, we fought and did this. It was God's blessing. I mean, there was things that happened in the weather. There's things that happened in the natural. There's just miracle after miracle after miracle. And this isn't limited to World War II. I believe that you could say that about so many things. God is the one who's caused this nation to prosper. Whatever nation you're in, God is the one who's caused our prosperity. And we need to recognize God as our source. And just like David was praying here, saying, Lord, who are we that we should have this prosperity? You're the one who's prospered us. Who am I that you should have given me this much money and this much influence? God, you're my source. I am your steward. How do you want me to administer your finances? See, if you had that mindset, if that was truly your mindset, I believe that God would cause you to prosper 1,000 times more than what you have. And the prosperity that you get, it would have come from God, and it's secure because it's not based on this economy. It's not based on all of the ups and downs in this world system. God is your source. And, you know, I'm not the perfect example. I don't want to focus all of this and turn it back towards me, but my life illustrates this, that the Lord spoke to me in 2009 when the so-called Great Recession hit and people were beginning to cut back, and ministries. There are hundreds of ministries here in Colorado Springs, and I know many of them. I have access to people that I know there, and I know things that are going on behind the scenes. And when this so-called Great Recession first hit, even the ministry started planning on cutting back, and they decreased their budgets 15, 20, 25%. But that's the exact time that God spoke to me about increasing and building a Bible college with a first-class, world-class campus that we could reach out to people. And so we started expanding, and we just finished in January of 2014, a $32 million project building the first of several buildings on that property. And we did it debt-free. During a time when the world's economy was going down, my economy was going up, and God blessed me. And I know some people think, well, I don't know how that happened. It happened because of the things I'm teaching you. I'm a steward. And if God tells you to expand, if God tells you to cut back, whatever God tells you, that's what you do. And if you would follow God, God will make you prosper. Did you know when the stock market crashed in 2009 and went down 50%, I made a 61% gain on my stocks because I was doing what God told me to do. I know many of you don't believe this. Well, let me just say that it won't work for you then. But if you get this mindset of being a steward, if you with David could say that all we're doing is just giving you what's your own, you're the one who's given us everything we've got, it's yours. I'm your steward. What do you want me to do? If you get that attitude, that is the first step towards financial blessing and prosperity. I tell you, this is powerful. I'm out of time today, but again, on our program tomorrow, we're going to continue to talk about this, and I promise you this will help you. Listen to our announcer, and please call or write today. Okay, today is our second construction update, and it is our first day of classes, and I tell you, it was awesome. So we are now standing here in the construction, and behind me, you can see that they are beginning to already pour some of the foundation, where on this side, right behind me, there is a curved part of the building, and it goes up about 2.5 or 3 stories. Over on the north side of the building, we are going to put in a 1,000 car park. Also over on the other side of the building, we're putting in a shop. And this is where we're going to be able to house our equipment. Right here where I'm standing, this is where the two buildings will connect. This is a grand staircase that will go upstairs and then downstairs to the basement, and it will connect over to the bottom floor. If you want to be a part of this and keep this construction going, which I really feel that's what God wants us to do, that would be the best, then we need an influx of about, I'd say, probably $6 million within the next 4 3 to 5 months maximum. God is doing some great things. It's not about building. It's not any of this. It's about changed lives. I wish you could have been in our opening rally today and have seen the people's lives that have been changed already in the testimonies. It's just tremendous. What we're doing is investing in people. This is a tool to enable us to reach deeper with the gospel than we've ever reached before. And so I'm excited about it, and I just pray that you are too, that you'll join with me. And together, I believe we're going to get this done without delay.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in book form in either English or Spanish for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Or you can get the book as part of the Prosperity Package. This package includes the Financial Stewardship Series on CD, the book, the Financial Stewardship Study Guide, and the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. This DVD includes 6 true stories that could change your financial future and help you experience the freedom of turning your finances over to God. The entire package has a catalog value of $115. But today you can get the Prosperity Package for a gift of $85 or more. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled, What is a Steward? It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Lessons from David for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In November, he'll be in Mesa, Arizona, and in San Antonio, Dallas, and Fort Worth, Texas. And in January, he'll be in Phoenix and Mesa, Arizona, and at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park, Colorado, for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.